This morning's scripture reading is Luke chapter 3, 15 to 22. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod the Tetrarch because of his marriage to Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this to them all. He locked John up in prison. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased."
Good morning, everybody. The Lord be with you. I receive that because I need it. I tell people a lot that preaching is probably one of the most terrifying and exhilarating experiences you could ever have. But it is a great honor for me to be bringing God's word to us today. For 2,000 years, the church has been gathering together for worship in song, in the scriptures, and in the sacraments. So we thought we might as well just keep carrying on that tradition. So as we come to the scriptures today, I pray that it would be an opportunity for us to worship and be drawn up into Christ as we dive into this text. As we read this morning, the passage for this morning is Luke chapter 3. If you have your Bibles this morning, just go ahead and open it up to Luke chapter 3 or a smartphone. Definitely encourage you to have it out in front of you and dig into it with me today. And as you do that, I'm going to start by reading a poem by one of my favorite authors, Malcolm Guite, who has written a whole book of sonnets based on the church year, and this is on the baptism of Jesus. Malcolm Guite writes, "Beginning here, we glimpse the three in one. The river runs, the clouds are torn apart. The Father speaks, the Spirit and the Son reveal to us the single loving heart that beats behind the being of all things and calls and keeps and kindles us to light. The dove descends, the Spirit soars and sings, 'You are beloved, you are my delight.' In that swift light and life as water spills and streams around the man like quickening rain, the voice that made the universe reveals the God in man who makes it new again. He calls us too to step into that river, to die and rise and live and love forever." Would you pray with me? Jesus, we lift our hearts to you this morning. Jesus, I pray that as we worship you around your word, that our eyes would be opened to see you, God. That our hearts would be lifted to you, that you, Jesus, would take us up, bring us up into you, pull us out of our worldly doldrums, pull us out of our small thinking, open up our eyes, and let there be a spirit of wisdom and revelation here today that helps us to see you, to receive you. Let there be an opening up of the heavens over us this morning, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you've been following along, we've been walking through the Gospel of Luke together, and if you kind of caught it, we're actually rewinding in the story just a little bit today. And I think it's worth the rewind because this moment in Jesus' life is epic. I'm not sure if there's another word you can describe it. This is a massively important text. In fact, all four gospel writers mentioned this story. So there's something that all four gospels, they want us to know about this event in Jesus' life. This is massively important for the early church. And on a personal note, this has been this has carried incredible weight and significance to me personally in my own journey as a young man, as a young leader. And so I'm honored to bring it this morning. If I were hypothetically to get a tattoo, a full-length tattoo on my arm, hypothetically speaking, it would be of this scene. It would be, I would get the baptism of Jesus tattooed all the way down my arm. So if there's anyone out there that wants to start a GoFundMe, a Kickstarter, I would not say no to that. You know, at VIA, there's all of our clergy are just tattooed down the arms, and we're coming into the Anglican Communion, and they've been starting to call us Ganglicans because there's so many tattoos. So Lord willing, I will add my number, add my own skin to that, to Ganglicans. Let me just quickly lay out where we're headed this morning in the text. We're going to take a look at this text in three parts. First of all, we'll take a look at John the Baptist, spend some time talking about John. Next, we'll spend a whole bunch of time talking about Jesus. And then finally, we're going to take some time and just talk about us. What does this mean for us, and how do we apply that to our own lives, our own hearts? So you guys with me?
We're with you, Jeff.
Thanks, Kalita. I knew you would be. So John the Baptist. In verse 15, we read that it says, the people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. So we're looking here at how John points us to Jesus and the Spirit's baptism. But at the beginning of our text, it seems that John's ministry is so powerful and has so many messianic marks to it that they were honestly wondering, maybe he is the one. The context before John comes on the scene is literally a 400-year period of time of relative silence where the prophetic voice was not really active. The Spirit wasn't noticeably moving. God was certainly at work, but it seemed to be like 400 years. That's a long time. There's no prophetic voice. The people of God are just adventing, looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. And all of a sudden, in the desert, it seems that the Spirit is stirring, and people from the cities are emptying out of the cities, and they're like, what is going on? The Spirit is moving. Something's going on. John is baptizing people. The Spirit is moving, and people are coming, and his ministry is so strong. It looks so much like the Messiah. All the people were wondering, you know, it's like everyone's thinking it. Maybe someone says it like, John, like, are you the one? And I love John. He answers them all in verse 16, and he says, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Wow. What is that about? That must have got their attention. So they're wondering if he's the one. John's like, no, my whole life and ministry is to exalt Jesus. Here in verse 15, he speaks of this coming one who is more powerful than he. And John just continually, this is John's MO for his whole life. He's continually pointing us to Jesus, exalting Jesus. In fact, in John's gospel, It's recorded that John the Baptist said, "The reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. And the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The one on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.'" It was as if John was saying, "Listen, guys, I'm just working with water here. You know, like, my baptism is a baptism of repentance. I'm just here to say, get ready, get ready, get ready. The one you long for is coming. The consolation of Israel is coming. He will be mighty to save, and he has the power to immerse you not only in water, but to immerse you in the Holy Spirit." John prophesies powerful words. You can imagine he's getting people's attention. He's saying, "I'm here to tell you what you long for is coming. Get ready." He's preparing the way. So John is there at the banks of the Jordan River, and he's faithfully ministering the good news. But even as he did, John himself was waiting. He was waiting for the one who is more powerful than he. He was watching for the one on whom the Spirit would come down and remain. The one who would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. John was longing for this day at the river to come. Just so happened to be that day. I want to be like John the Baptist if/when I grow up. So spend some time talking about John the Baptist. Let's spend some time talking about